Hi, and now we're starting part two of the heraldreview.com. Today's the 19th of June, and we'll start our first news with sports. The latest round two of U.S. Open underway in Chambers Bay. And here in the picture caption, there is Tiger Woods react to his tee shots on the eighth hole during the first round of the U.S. Open Golf Tournament at Chambers Bay on Thursday, June 18, 2015, in University Place Wash. And now, the latest from the U.S. Open, all times local, 7 a.m., with winds at the standstill and a slight miss rolling off pungent sound, the second round of the U.S. Open got underway at Chambers Bay just south of Seattle on Friday. Dustin Johnson and Henrik Stenson had led at 5-under, and after the opening round through dough both of them played in the morning Thursday, the wind kicked up, greens hardened, and conditions changed dramatically by the time the second wave teed off in the afternoon. Will they have their chance to go low going off early in round two? Better question, will Tiger Woods rebound from the 10 over 80, an opening round that saw him send a club boomeranging into the fisk, an accident, top a fairway, metal into a bunker, and in general, look like a 20 handicap hacker much of the afternoon? Next in sports news is Arcola's Edelman turns potential into reality. Arcola's relays are starting to rub off on Tommy Edelman. The former Milliken thrower who holds the hammer record has running on the brains a bit more after the riders brought a full show to state track this year. It was a lot of running around and getting nervous before each race, Edelman said. I think before the 4x1, I'm pretty sure I could have ran a mile. It was one thing last year, and he only had to prepare for one relay in the finals. This year was a bit different, handling five different events, including some going on at the same time. But by the end of the day, the second-year coach for Arcola heard one of the biggest compliments as the PA announcer blared that the Riders will now be known as more than a football school. Arcola took third place in Class 1A, the first team trophy in school history, and Edelman, the HNR Area Track Coach of the Year, said up until state he was still looking for another edge. The beginning of the year, it wasn't really on my mind, he said. As we got closer to the state meet, we were doing well, but still had some room for improvement. It's a quick jump to coaching a team to state for Edelman, who has famous roots as the grandson of Illinois' Dwight Dyke Edelman. He graduated from Champaign's Sentinel and then threw for Milliken through the 11th and 12th year. Besides the hammer, Edelman threw the javelin, shot, and discus. While in school, Edelman always knew what he wanted to do. Coming into college, I wanted to do physical education, he said, and I thought I wanted to teach PE. I might as well coach as well. That led to the track coaching job in 13-14, while also being an assistant for the football team. After the first state success in several years, Edelman had a bigger team to manage. This year, we definitely had a bigger group of guys this first year, he said. The coach that left me in a pretty good spot. This year, it was just about refreshing them. Instead of some coaches who don't have a personal history in track and instead use the sport as training for football, Edelman could draw from past experiences in track to help his athletes. That didn't mean he didn't want to brush up. The thrower inherited a team of relay stars and a high jumper in Ashton Wilson, so there was plenty to learn. Edelman said numerous clinics have helped bridge the gap. Edelman didn't need any help socially. He's awesome, Clayton Stater said. He's a great coach, and we all love him. He's our brother pretty much, and he wants us to do the best we can. The final step, that's refreshing, came against Tolono Unity, which challenged Arcola earlier, right down to the final days of the track season. Neither team ever grabbed a complete edge. Unity won in the other two relays at state, and Edelman had that to motivate his team. That's something that came along this year, he said. They beat us early in the year, and both teams are both so competitive. They push each other like I don't think any other teams could. And the nervous coach could exhale after a full day of nervous walking off stage as Arcola doubled its first place trophies and took home more medals than any other year. After hoisting the trophy, celebrating with a welcoming party back home, and then taking a couple of weeks to think about it, Edelman still was in a little in awe. I don't know if it's really sunk in for them yet, but it really hasn't sunk in for me. Still in sports, Strader provides spark for Arcola. And here in the picture caption is no one in the era came home with as many state medals as Arcola's Clayton Strader, who provided the crucial initial boost to the riders' relays. Those on the football field know how deadly Clayton Strader's stop and start cutbacks can be. Now the track world knows as well. The Arcola Junior opened the riders' three relays at state and put together another medal-winning performance in the 300 hurdles. It is the first time in Arcola's track history that an athlete won four medals in one year. And Strader, the HNR Area Track Athlete of the Year, is now most decorated track athlete in program history. And it all begins out of the box. I think his start is so impressive. He's always the guy that started our races, Arcola coach Tommy Edelman said. The first 50 meters of our races, he will get us out to such a fast start, especially for our four times one. That was huge. We just had to keep the lead from there. While the last leg of races can provide the final dramatic getting the clean break and the blocks, it's just as important. Time and time again, Strader jump started the relays as the 4x100 and 4x400 won state titles, and the 4x200 took second. The team really counts on me to get a good lead, and that helps a lot, Strader said. Strader, like the rest of Arcola's relay, doesn't have any size many other sprinters have. Even though he's listed as 5'9" on a basketball roster, he hasn't made a difference against taller runners from Hales, Franciscans, and Tolono University. He's pretty explosive for small as he is, Edelman said. He's our quarterback and he's got quick feet and is so elusive. He's great at starting and stopping, so good getting out on the blocks. That's been something Strader said he had since he started in 7th grade. While out for the football team, his speed caught his coach's eyes and made him a natural recruit for track. He started in the relays while also trying out the 110 hurdles. He found a sweet spot with the 300 hurdles. The high hurdles aren't for me, though, Strader said, laughing. With the relays coming together in Jamie Warren and Federico Golovic's final years of high school, Strader decided to put aside individual events to make sure the team could be at its best. He barely worked on his individual event to make sure Arcola could take its first gold in more than 20 years. They were so focused, Edelman said. They wanted to do well in the relays. He wanted to pick things up really quickly, so he rarely practiced the hurdles. That'd be one of his main focuses next year. I think I probably practiced the 300 about two or three times this year, Strader said. In the end, he found pretty much the best of both worlds as Strader ended up with third place. His strategy, even with running for events in every meet, was to really turn it on at the end with several hurdles to go. That paid off, even after the limited practice and doing the hurdles in between the 4x2 and 4x4 events. Strader could wear a smile and eventually another medal. It was a surprise, but I thought if I ran my hardest, I knew I could do it, Strader said. Making sure the relay were in top form came all the tracks as well. Strader found another use for his leadership skills from football and quarterback to track team as well. He belted encouragement to Warren from across the track after running his leg of the 4x1 and led the cheering section for high jumper Ashton Wilson's moments after relay. I talk to everyone to keep their focus, Strader says. The night before the finals and prelims, I had a track team at my house. We ate dinner together and ate breakfast together. Edelman sees that as well, and it's something that will definitely come into play next year as a large and talented sophomore class fills the gap on the relays. While the coach said he wants Strader to focus on the 300 hurdles next year, he also rely on him to help younger teammates deal with helping defend the relay titles. Very competitive kid, Edelman said. He wants his team to do well. outside off the track. He likes to joke around with the team, and on it, he always works hard. That's how he is. You're still listening to sports news, and next is Adam scratching the surface. Here in the picture and caption is Meridian Noah Adams won a state title in the high jump, and it's the H&R Macoun County Boys Track Athlete of the Year for the second straight season. Okay, let's start the story. Before the season, Noah Adams really didn't have a high goal in the high jump. That might have been the best approach. The Meridian junior kept raising the bar throughout the year, starting at 6'4" in the outdoor season, that became 6'8" a month in, and suddenly 6'10" 2 weeks later. That's when everything changed. It was a little different when I was clearing bigger heights, but when I cleared 6'10" was when everything changes a lot with the colleagues, Adam says. In July, it's when they can really start visiting your house and calling you. So I have Iowa supposed to come visit Indiana. That really happened when they saw 6'10". That really caught their attention. He surprised his own coach as well. I've been elated if he hit 6'8" this year, Drew Hall said. Adams, the H&R Macoun County Track Athlete of the Year, had known for a while that he wanted to jump at college. After taking fourth at state with 6'5" mark his sophomore season, that looked like a reasonable possibility. After hitting 6'10" twice, currently tied for the 25th best jump in the nation and the second time for the Class 1A state title, it's a certain reality. It's just awesome that it's changed so dramatically, Adams said. Adams first taught himself how to high jump, a natural event for someone who's been the tallest in every grade. But after starting to see some success, he latched onto coach Drew Hall's his sophomore season. Hall, who's out of Clinton and went to Illinois State for the high jump, revamped Adams' approach his sophomore year, and the results started coming. This year, it was fine-tuning and technique. He didn't have Adams work on any weight training, hence the reason for his 6'8" mark Hall had in the back of his mind. But Adams, whose 6'5" wiry frame is perfect for the event, took the high jump to another level with pure athletic ability. For me, it's very, very exciting, Hall said. It opens a lot of avenues. It's what if he does all this weight training? How high can he go? Hall saw that raw improvement come true throughout the season. While heights is a natural fit for the high jump, Adams' athleticism can mask some problems other tall jumpers have. One of his biggies is getting his angles away from the bar and taking off farther away from the bar, he says. He's so fast, even for someone that's 6'5", he has really good speed. And it was you're strong enough, you're powerful enough to take off away from the bar, it's getting used to the timing. The ability was tested a bit this year. Throughout the year, Adam Marks bobbed up and down a bit, but nothing too significant. But the co next couple of meets after his first cleared 6'10", Adams won the Central Analyst Conference at Shelby's meet with just a 6'3" jump. With a 9-day layoff before sectionals, coach and students worked throughout the issues and put that in the past. Went back to basic, and then he went 6th in sectionals, Hall said. It's all him processing it and making those changes he needs to make. Hall said Adams has always had the ability, but he's vocalizing it this year. I can't really vouch for him outside of track, but when I'm with him, it's significantly different, Hall said. Now he's coming off the mat, and he's the first one to say something. He'll tell me he jumped into the bar or something. He's giving me feedback. It's a lot of maturity. I've said this to my wife. He's such a mature jumper and athlete. He's doing exactly what I'm telling him with difficult workouts. He's so mentally tough. That came into play during state when North Green Logan Ross cleared 6'10" as well. In the jumps leading up to the mark, Adams was never rattled, and his consistency helped him take home the title. I kind of keep things on a personal basis, he said. I still look at stuff because I'm interested in it, like DI Nationals was recent and 75341 it. Kind of interested by that. For now, the junior will go into the off season with the goal of 7 foot in mind, something only 17 high school athletes in the nation accomplished this year. Now that Hall said he has an introductory course in strength training lined up in the off season, that lofty mark seems entirely reasonable. Just getting stronger and being able to get higher and being a little more powerful. You know, Adam said, getting my form a little bit better. It's obviously getting tons better than last year. I'm just tweaking little things and getting stronger. And our next headline is outside shaping inside. For here in the picture caption is teacher Amy Benton encourages Lionel Williams to, as he dances on the new music and movements staged during the natural playscape open hours. House, open house at Baby Talk Early Head Start. Indicator, 19-month-old Charlie McMillan enjoyed pounding on the marimba so much, he protested when his mother tried to interest him in something else. We're not so fond of letting go of things, Jennifer McMillan of Decatur said as she balanced a crying toddler on her hips. The McMillans were among the visitors Thursday at the grand opening of Baby Talk's Early Head Start's national playscape designed for children 3 and younger. More than a year in construction, the 75,000 layout features a pair of circular bike paths for wheel toys, two slides built into knoll and log stools flush with the grounds or close to it, from which small children can safely build and create with natural materials found outdoors. During Thursday, first in a series of public events, dance students snapped portraits, children had their faces painted, and percussion instruments were made out of plastic bottles filled with their choice of uncooked rice, dry beans, or rocks. We love it here and couldn't wait till August to try it, said Tamika Hatchett of Decatur, whose daughter Amira Hatchett Sawyer too is enrolled in at Early Head Start. Hayter Sparker of Decatur and daughter Byerly, 3, were first in line Thursday, and the girl had to go down the slide 3 times before she moved onto the house 3 banks to create a crying rubbing. Go right there, she asked, pointing to where children could make paint out of blueberries or strawberries and a paintbrush from a twig and some straw. Claudia Quick, Baby Talk executive director, said playing outside is so beneficial to early childhood development. She hopes other children's care centers consider adding playscapes. What happens to human beings in the early years of their life creates the brain architecture they'll have for the rest of their lives, Quick said. And our next headline is very interesting. It's the vanishing David Letterman. David Letterman's video have largely vanished from YouTube. BuzzFeed points out the elimination of clips from both YouTube's and CBS site, http://www.buzzfeed.com/scottybryan/all-of-David-Letterman's-late-show-videos have MU/UV8BZ9BYA. The story also says Worldwide Pants is considering a range of options. Letterman's production company took the rights to the program as soon as it stopped running on CBS. Now, those options could include YouTube or Hulu or Netflix licensing or some kind of video packaging and distribution deals about which we currently know nothing. But it also could be that Letterman dislikes so much the idea of his shows having any kind of extended life that he'll bury them until after he's deceased. If he even allows them to be seen then. Remember, Letterman was furious at NBC selling A&E the rights to his late-night shows in 1991. There were a couple of other syndication deals, but they're long gone. Letterman said he thought the syndicated shows devalued his new late-night efforts, but widely reported discussions also said Letterman did not like the idea of his older work being seen at all. I'll bet he hated the rerun of his Mork and Mindy episode. It looks like, for the long time being, we've have to be content with rogue collectors uploading the files to YouTube or another sharing location. And now for the sadder part of part two is obituaries. Starting with Beasley James. Indicator, Beasley James, 84, of Sun City West, AZ. Passed away June 15, 2015. James was born September 23, 1930, in Oakland City. into Abbey and Online Busy. He was preceded in death by his parents, wives, and stepson Patrick Crawford. Visitations will be 9 a.m. with funeral service at 10 a.m. Friday, June 19, 2015 at Monkey Funeral Home, 12420 North 103rd Avenue, Sun City, AZ. In lieu of flowers, donations are suggested to Desert Cove Assembly, 10833 North Dystart Road, El Mirage, AZ, A85335. We deeply appreciate the loving care given by Mary Zubia and family through the years. Please visit www.menkefuneralhome.com to leave condolences. Next is Burkham Jack W. in Decatur. Jack W. Burkham, 85, of Decatur, formerly of Livingston, passed away 3 p.m. Wednesday, June 17, 2015 at Decatur Memorial Hospital, Decatur. Graveside services will be held 11 a.m. Saturday, June 20, 2015 at Hewitt Cemetery, Livingston. Visitations will be held from 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. Saturday at McMulling Young Funeral Home, Livingston. Arrangements were made by McMullington Young Funeral Homes, Livingston. Jack is preceded in death by his parents, wife, 10 brothers, and 3 sisters. Condolences may be offered to the family at www.mcmullinyoung.com. Next is Chazelle Deborah Renee. Indicator, Deborah Renee Chazelle got her angel wings and joined her Lord God on June 13, 2015. Services will be held 11th Monday with visitation 1 hour before at the Main Street Church of the Living God, 2000 North Main Street, Decatur. Illinois 62526, Overseer Thomas Walker, Pastor, Burial, Greenwood Cemetery. She joins in heaven her mother and father. Donations can be made to https://www.gofundme.com/WNFNF78. Memorials can be sent to 109 Urban Street, Unit 10, Bloomington, Illinois 61704. Next is Down Jims in Pana. Jim Downs, 57, of Pana, died Tuesday, June 16, 2015, in his residence. The family requests memorials to the Pana Labor Day Parade Fund, Pana Education Foundation, Christian County Mental Health, Tanner's Park Sports Complex, or Pana Community Hospital Foundation. Visitation Friday, June 19, 2015, from 4 to 8 p.m. in McCracken Dean Funeral Home. Funeral services Saturday, June 20, 2015, in McCracken Dean Funeral Home at 11 a.m. with Pastor Stephen Palmer officiating. Everyone is invited to meet at Rosemont Grove Cemetery on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. for a sunset graveside service, Jim's favorite time of the day. Send condolences to www.mdfh.com. Next is Gibala Catherine Dolores, Decatur. Catherine Dolores Gibala, 85, of Decatur, passed away peacefully at 10:07 a.m. Wednesday, June 17, 2015, in her home at Lincolnshire Place with her husband by her side. A graveside service to celebrate her life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, June 20, 2015, at Graceland Cemetery. Pastor Randy McGeehorn will officiate. Memorials may be made in her honor to Elwin United Methodist Church or Homeward Bound's Pet Shelter. Tendias Logan Funeral Service and Care is in the charge of arrangements. Catherine was preceded in death by her parents. Her family would like to thank Lincolnshire staff and Dr. Jatoy and his staff for all their loving care. Please sign the online guestbook at www.tlccelebratingeverylife.com. Hilton Seth Alexander, Livingston. Seth Alexander Hilton, 4, of Livingston, A Blessing of the Lord, went to run with angels, June 16, 2015. The family would like to thank the members of the community for all their love and support. Also, a special thanks to the teachers, aides, and staff at Livingston Grade School for all their compassionate care. Services to celebrate Seth's life will be 10 a.m. Saturday, June 20, 2015 at the Livingston First Church of God, 301 West State Street, with Pastor Al Rennert officiating. Visitations will be from 5 till 7 p.m. Friday, June 19, 2015 at the Church of God Family Life Center. Burial will be in Keller Cemetery. A memorial has been established in Seth's honor at the Livingston HSB. This family of Seth Alexander Hilton is being served by the Graceland or Fairlawn Funeral, 2091 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur, Illinois. Please view the online obituary, send condolences, and share memories at www.gracelandfairlawn.com. Next is Peter Marvin J. Only. Marvin J. Peters, 86, of Only, died Thursday, June 18, 2015, in Richland Memorial Hospital, Only. Services will be at 11 a.m. Monday in Trinity Lutheran Church, Only, with Revenue April Daily officiating. Visitations will be 1 hour before services in the church. Burial will be in Crest Haven Memorial Park, Claremont, with Military Rites, Summer Crystals Funeral Home. Only is in charge of arrangement, memorials, Trinity Lutheran Church, or Parkinson's Foundations. Send condolences to www.summers-kistler.com. Next is Robinson Wodean Carey, Decatur. Wodean Carey Hood Robinson, 86, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 4 p.m. June 13, 2015 at McKinley Court with her family by her side. Visitations will be 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, June 19, 2015 at the Main Street Church of the Living God with rites by the Order of the Eastern Star St. Mary Chapels No. 65. At 7 p.m. Homegoing service will be held 12 noon Saturday, June 20th, 2015 at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church with Reverend Dr. C.D. Stewart officiating. Burial Greenwood Cemetery Professional Services entrusted to Walker Funeral Service, www.walkersfs.ca. Next is Sheridian Paula Elaine Oblong. Paula Elaine Brotherton Sheridan, 62 Oblong, former St. Pierre Oil Co. Secretary, died Monday, June 15, 2015. Celebration of Life Services, 1 p.m. Monday, Cornerstone Wesleyan Church, Oblong. Visitation, 10 a.m. until services in the church. Burial, Miller Cemetery, Jasper County. Arrangement by Pulliam Funeral Home, Oblong. Memorials, Cornerstone Wesleyan Church. Send condolences to oblongfuneralhome.com. And next is Warnick Laura Pearl of Elwin. Laura Pearl Warnick, 87, of Elwin, Illinois, passed away at 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 17, 2015, in St. Mary Hospital, Decatur, Illinois. A service to celebrate Laura's life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, June 20th, 2015 at the Elwin United Methodist Church with Reverend Randy McGeehorn officiating. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation on Friday evening from 5 till 7 p.m. at the church. Burial will be in Mount Gilead Cemetery, Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home. Mount Zion will be assisting the family with funeral services. In lieu of flowers and family suggests memories to the Elwin United Methodist Church, messages of condolences may be sent to the family at www.dawson-wyckoff.com. And here are the pending funerals for Friday, June 19, 2015. Born Caroline, 85, Decatur, died Thursday, June 18, 2015. Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Campbell Wesley, 63, Decatur, died Thursday, June 18, 2015. Walker Funeral Service and Chapel. Michelle Thomas, 63, Decatur, died Thursday, June 18, 2015. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. And Arnold Betty E., 79, Decatur, 11 a.m. in Antioch Christian Church. Beasley James, 84, Decatur, 10 a.m. in Minky Funeral Home, Sun City, Arizona. Copper Verna May, 79, Decatur, 3 p.m. in Dawson's of and Wyckoff West Wood Street Funeral Home, Minich Jeffrey D 47, Nyanik, 11 a.m. in South Shores Christian Church, Murphy Leovin, 56 Decatur, 1 p.m. in City of Praise Church, Scooch Erline W 73 Sullivan, 7 p.m. in Reed Funeral Home Sullivan. And that marks the end of our part two. Once again, I'm Sharon Cunyon, and thank you for listening to me. Enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye.